Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your Spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The word of the Lord today is from 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 7. Listen to the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in with you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Holy wisdom, holy word.
I'm looking fervently for Sadie May and Mary Lynn. All right, you two characters, come on up here. When the question was asked on this Witness Sunday, who in our congregation has a reputation for faith? For prayerful faith, for faith as deep and wide, or so it feels, of creation itself. And the name that came to mind is one of our patriarchs, Sadie. And then the question was, who shall stand with her? And the next name that came to mind was Mary Lynn. Now, you two have a seat right here. I don't want you to escape. That's the reason for having you here. I can catch you from here. I couldn't catch you from back there. What does it mean to have a witness? The word in English refers to two things. Number one, it is to witness something. It is to see something. But also, to be a witness is to tell others about what you saw. The Christian life is meant to be a life of sharing. Not only our material well-being, although certainly that, not only our hospitality. But to understand that all along the way, we have experienced the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. That even in the welcome of this congregation to us, we have been embraced by Christ. We have witnessed the goodness of God. And in this circumstance, and in many circumstances, having witnessed this goodness, we then testify, we then share that witness with others. What sorry people we would be if we receive God's goodness and God's grace and then never turned around and shared it. If we were invited to partake of body and blood, but never turned around and invited others to come and partake of this too. No, the call that we experience is the call to witness. There is no other. Go into all the world. Share the gospel with every creature. That is the calling that we have. The word witness in the Greek is martureo, from which we get the same word martyr. Martyrs are certainly those who gave up their life in their Christian witness. For most of us, it will not cost us the shedding of blood, the losing of the body. No, it will be something much more daily to give up ourselves in love to the world. So today, these two are going to witness. They're going to witness to God's goodness through Jesus Christ. Like Lois and Eunice who witnessed to Timothy, they will tell us of those who witnessed to them, of the witness they have to share, how it was embedded in this congregation gathering in this building. And hopefully we'll have a glimpse of the preciousness and the opportunity we have just sitting here today. That we come here with open and grateful hearts because of the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. Now, I understand you two are occupying the pulpit. So who goes first this time? Okay, and the other one of you can take my chair.
I'll stand on tippy toes too. I joined First Presbyterian Church, Iowa City, on December 14th, 1980. The reason I remember it was my father's birthday. And it was through my father and his Scottish ancestors that we continue to be Presbyterians. And I think of my grandmother and her parents when we talk about that cloud of witness. And when I joined the church here, I felt like I was coming home. And part of it was because a very dear friend of mine was a member of the church, and she helped me come back and become a part of this church, and I will be forever grateful to her. My husband and I have two daughters, and both of our girls and I were nurtured here in this building, in Sunday school and in adult education, youth groups, Christmas programs, worship, retreats, potlucks, weddings, Bible study, book club discussion. I could go on and on and on. I remember all of the colors of the passing seasons, all the joys, the laughter, and sometimes the sadness that we shared here. And I also remember those who are no longer with us and who taught me and inspired me by their words and by their examples. They inspired me to greater love and understanding of my faith. And I also wish to hold up those who are still here today who continue to uphold me. Just looking at the bulletin, I see so many things that our congregation is involved in here with our own Christians and also in the community. And as you know, some of you know that I'm a retired early childhood special education teacher. And I taught in three school districts, in small districts in eastern Iowa. And this class moved from district to district when classroom space was available. So we would pack up and the kids and I would go to another district. And when I was there and in my classroom, one of the first things I did was to what we called prepare the environment. That meant I set out teaching materials and equipment, and I made areas available for large motor, small motor, dramatic play, areas for small groups, large groups, areas for individual work, and so on. And I was not ready to teach until finally my classroom was prepared. Then that environment helped me to go on and to work with the children. For me, our church building is like my classrooms. We need to make sure that our environment, our classroom, is ready for our work. We need to properly restore and improve it so that we can fulfill our mission today, and not just today, but in the future. In my classroom, the children that I worked with were challenged by disabilities in many ways. And my associates and I were called to meet those challenges, to help the children learn and to thrive. And now here we are at First Presbyterian, and I feel that I've been called by a challenge to help renew and renovate our building, our environment. I'm excited about this. I can see renovations happening in the parking lot and our wonderful organ that's so important to us. And I feel that this will help restore our mission. And I look forward to our future. I have faith that we will witness to each other and to our community as we prepare to go into the future to another 175 years. And I hope that you will all join me in this future. Thank you.
Years ago, when I was young and new to Iowa City, my plan was to explore other churches in Iowa City. First Press was my first and only exploration. Due to that first stop, I have become a long-time member here. We as a family attended regularly several years before joining. The persuasion to join was multifaceted. The welcoming process, the invitation was so believing, the enrichment through classes so interesting, the preaching so challenging, the music so enjoyable, plus our children's enthusiasm and participation in the various church activities were very persuasive. A few months after becoming members, James and I lost our infant son. Our neighbor, an atheist, immediately called the church. The response was tremendous. Those were the days house doors were left unlocked. We lived at that time in student housing. Upon my return from UI Hospital, the kitchen table was covered with delicious home-cooked meals of home-cooked dishes of food and a stack of cash. Both James and I were shocked, humbled, and grateful. The morning circle was meeting that day, and they shared abundantly with more food than any one family could possibly eat. So we also shared with our neighbors. Such outpouring of compassion for our family from First Press convinced me that this was a church of which I wanted to be a part. Again, during James' short illness, the church responded. Some of the things offered were teaching Corey how to tie his tie and walking my daughter down the aisle on her wedding day. These are only a few examples of what the church is about. When I think of the benefits I've received from First Press, I think of me meeting God in this place and my recognizing His holy presence with us, and what a joy. I think of the uplifting Christian friends who share, encourage, and demonstrate what a Christian is and can become. I think also of the opportunities to learn and to grow in areas of church life, many by volunteering to serve. I look forward to continuing the history of supporting First Press for another 175 years. Being God's representative of the future, are we willing to answer His call to be a firm foundation? Not only to fulfill our personal calling, but launch others to know Christ as real as we know and proclaim Him. Be faithful, First Press. Roll on. Give God the glory. Thank you.
I invite you to repeat after me this petition of the disciples. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Say it again. Lord, increase our faith. One more time. Lord, increase our faith. Conclude with our gospel lesson today and then ask for a time of silent reflection. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you've done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless servants, we have done only what we ought to have done. Please repeat after me. We have done only what we ought to have done. Again. We have done only what we ought to have done. One more time. We have done only what we ought to have done. Let's have a time of silent prayer and reflection.